Morning. I invite you all to come in and have a seat. Before we begin, please take a moment to look over the announcements in your bulletin. We have a very active church body, and I just want to highlight a couple of things, and then we'll start our service. So the clothing fair is taking place again this year. It'll be happening on Tuesday. Unfortunately, donations have come in a little bit lower than projected, and there is an urgent call for more. So if you're able to donate anything, specifically warm things, please bring them to the church by noon tomorrow. There's also been a call for a faith exploration class. So if this is something you might be interested in or you know someone, please get in contact with Tim. It'll be set based on who's available when. I haven't been approached about anything else. Make sure you read what's in your bulletin. This morning, we welcome members of the Winnipeg Children's Choir to share in song with us, and I would invite them to do so now.
Good morning. We're happy to be here. And as you can see, we are more of an ensemble than a choir right now. But we're going to do the very best we can. I'd like to introduce the first song. It's a Hebrew song, and I will just give you the... It's from Lamentations 5, and I will just give you the interpretation. Cause us to return, Lord, to you, and we shall return. Renew our days of old.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. We look forward to hearing from the choir more later in the service. If you join me in a call to worship now. Come, let us worship the God who came to seek and save the lost. Let us worship the God who came to seek and save each of us. Let us welcome God into our homes and our hearts. Let us give of ourselves in this worship time that we may know God. Let us joyfully and with gratitude worship God.
Let's join our voices together in song and see if we can give them a run for their money. From the insert in your bulletin number 16, Praise with Joy, the World's Creator. And let's stand to sing.
So if you were at Kids Club this week, you're going to hear the same story again. So last week, Pastor Franz told a story in his sermon about a tax collector. Do you guys remember that? And do you guys remember why tax collectors in Jesus' time were bad? They took too much money? Yeah, so one, paying taxes just suck in general. They often cheated on the taxes, with taking more money than they should, and they got to keep that money. And finally, they were working for the Romans, the people that had conquered Israel at the time. And so now I'm going to tell a story about a very specific tax collector. Now this tax collector, he was a wee little man. Do you know what his name is? Zacchaeus, that's right. Now Zacchaeus was a tax collector in the city of Jericho. One day he heard that Jesus was in town and he wanted to see him. But he was worried that he wasn't going to be able to because he was too short. And probably wouldn't be able to get through the crowd because nobody liked him. So he climbed up a fig tree and waited for Jesus to come by. When Jesus came by, Jesus went straight up to him. And what did Jesus tell him? Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house today. So Zacchaeus came down, and Jesus went to his house. Zacchaeus was so moved by this that he said that he was going to give half of all of his money to the poor, and that if he had ever cheated anyone, he would give them back 4 times as much as he had taken. But not everybody was happy. Some people were upset that Jesus would spend time with Zacchaeus. But that's not very fair, right? Everybody should get to meet Jesus. Today, we are Jesus' hands and feet. When we go to school and hang out with our friends, we bring Jesus with us. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending Jesus down here to earth. Help us bring your love to everybody that we meet, because we know that everyone needs to feel loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just, there is Sunday school for all of the kids, even the oldest age group. So if there's anyone left. As they file downstairs. We've come to the point in our service in which we can take time to remember those around us who are both celebrating and also those who are filled with sorrow. Tim will bring a mic around if you have anything to share. There's also a number of things listed in your bulletins of which we would like to draw attention to. Make sure you give them a read. Condolences go out to the families of Margaret Clausen and Dagmar Redekop. Memorial services for both were held earlier this week. And please continue to pray for all those receiving ongoing care in personal care homes and other medical capacities. Anybody have anything to share?
My name is Jacob Dick. And I would like to, ich möchte mich gerne bedanken für all das, was für ihre Gebete und für die Blumen, was sie mir geschickt haben. Das hat mich eine große Freude gemacht. Und die Gebete, die haben mich auch viel Mut und Freude gemacht. Ich bin so dankbar dafür, dass Sie an mich gedacht haben, dass ich da noch nicht mit in Ihrer Mitte war. Und ich habe mich gesehnt nach die ganze Familie, dass ich noch einmal die Gemeinde sehen darf. Vielen Dank für Ihre Gebete und was Sie an mir getan haben. Dankeschön. Nochmal Dankeschön.
If there's no one else, please join me in prayer. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the many people who have followed your way of life joyfully. For the many saints and martyrs, men and women who have offered up their lives so that your life abundant may become manifest and your kingdom may advance. They chose the way of your Son, our brother, Jesus Christ. In the midst of trial, they held out hope. In the midst of persecutions, they witnessed to your power. And in the midst of despair, they clung to your promise. O Lord, we thank you for the truth they have learned and passed on to us. Give us courage to follow their way of life. For your love and faithfulness, we will at all times praise your name. We thank you for those who are able to celebrate wholeheartedly today. Those experiencing healing and new life, thank you for shining into these lives. We also pray for the millions in our world who must go hungry today, all who are exploited and marginalized because of their caste or class, color or sex, that they may not lose their hope and may find the strength to struggle for their dignity. We call upon you for those who are persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, or threatened with death because of their witness to justice and peace, for those who have disappeared because they dared to speak, that their spirits may not be broken, but their bodies whole. We remember those who live in regions torn by tension and war, by disaster, famine, and poverty. We pray for the millions of refugees around the world, that in the midst of tears and bitterness, they may discern signs of hope. We think of those not so far from home, those who are living amongst us and struggle daily with health concerns. Be with those of us who have been named and those who have not. Lord, into your hands we commend our earth, ever threatened with disaster, and all persons and situations we have spoken about, written down or remembered in the silence of our hearts this day. Strengthen our will for peace and justice. Increase our faith in your kingdom, where love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will embrace. And may your will be done here on earth as in heaven. Amen.
We have an alumnus joining us for this song, Lucas Sawatsky.
Look at the world and marvel every day. Psalm 32, 1-7. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, I let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
If you once again take your insert out, number 27, God of the Bible. This is one I know we've sung with the choir, but I'm quite sure we have not sung it all together. The words are amazing and beautiful, but there's also a lot of them. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 and 5. 1, 2, and 5. And then the chorus on the second page there. The sopranos have a lovely little lilting melody. Altos, tenors, and basses, you are undergirding. So if we can try and find our notes in there, that would be wonderful.
Luke 19, 1-10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Good morning. Today, I'm going to talk about our response to the sinner. As Mennonites, we are really good at shutting ourselves into tight little communities away from the outside world as an attempt to stay pure. We are quick to condemn those members in our congregations whose lifestyles vary from our understandings of holiness. In years past, we've shunned or banned them, and even though we don't do it officially anymore, I know people who no longer feel welcome in their home church. We don't like to associate with those outside our communities. That homeless person, let's not talk to them or give them money, because they're just going to spend it on getting drunk or with whatever we give them, or so we say. But is that how God calls us to treat the sinner? Last week, I heard Francis' explanation of the tax collector, and I thought, darn, I was going to say that. In first century Judea, tax collectors were scummy people. Not only did they take taxes, and let's face it, we all hate paying taxes, but they took taxes for the Romans, the enemy. And part of their deal with the Romans was that as long as they hit their quota, they could keep whatever extra money they could extort out of their fellow Jews. They were considered awful people, and being a good Jew meant that you should avoid them at all, if at all possible. Tax collectors were considered sinners, but they weren't the only ones. The Pharisees, in fact, were so scared of sinning that not only did they follow the law, but they developed rules that were a step removed from the actual law, called the oral law. It was considered a hedge of protection to keep themselves from breaking the law itself. The law in Leviticus about not working on the Sabbath, they added extra rules about how many steps you could take before it was considered work. Any person different from them was a sinner. If you were sick, it was assumed that it was a punishment for a sin that either you or your parents committed, like the blind man in John 9. In the book of Luke, however, Jesus hangs out with sinners at least four times. In Luke 5, Jesus calls Levi, a tax collector, to follow him. As a response to Jesus' call, Levi holds a banquet and invites all of his tax collector friends to join him. The Pharisees see this and ask, "Why is Jesus eating with sinners?" And Jesus responds saying that the healthy don't need a doctor, and that he has come to call the sinners to repentance. In 734, Jesus is visiting a Pharisee when a woman in that town who lived a sinful life came in and anointed Jesus' feet with perfume. The Pharisee, Simon, assumes that Jesus doesn't know who this woman is, or else he wouldn't let her touch him. Jesus instead tells a story about two people who owe money. One owes 500 days worth of, one owes 500 denarii, and a denarius is a day's wage, the other 50. Jesus asks the Pharisee, who would be more thankful? The Pharisee responds saying, the one with the greater debt. Jesus agrees and says that those who have been given little, love little, but those who have been given much, love a lot. In 15:1, Jesus is again hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees and scribes see this and are upset that Jesus welcomes them and eats with them. Jesus, hearing this, says, if you had 100 sheep and lost one, you would leave the 99 to go after the one. And if you found it, you would go to your friends and tell them to celebrate with you. And finally, our story today in chapter 19. Jesus is in Jericho. The tax collector named Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is here and wants to see him. However, this Zacchaeus is really short. You might even call him a wee little man. And knowing this, he's and knows that he's going to get lost in the crowds when Jesus comes by. So he finds a fig tree and climbs it. Jesus sees this and says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Again, people are upset that Jesus is willing to associate with a sinner like Zacchaeus. But Jesus doesn't care. This meeting with Zacchaeus transforms him, and he commits himself to repaying everyone what he had cheated, and donating half of his possessions to the poor. Someone we don't often think of as a sinner is King David. Yet in Psalm 32 he writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, in whose spirit is no deceit." David then describes the inner turmoil he experienced, how his strength was sapped, and he felt like he was wasting away, until he confessed his sins and found refuge in the Lord. David gets it. He understands the joy of experiencing grace, that same grace that Zacchaeus felt when Jesus found him and asked to stay at his house. And as Christians who have also experienced this grace ourselves, we should be looking for any way possible to extend this grace to others. And yet, as often as we want to identify ourselves with Zacchaeus, the sinner who needs to be saved, oftentimes that is not the character in the story that we best embody. I don't know about you, but I often consider myself a Christian. Hopefully I'm a pastor. Like Jesus said, the healthy don't need a doctor. I may have once been the lost sheep, but I've been part of the 99 for a long time. It's somebody else's turn. Sometimes I worry that I'm actually a member of the crowd who sees Jesus going to the sinners and thinking, if Jesus knew the truth, he wouldn't talk to them. He wouldn't associate with Zacchaeus. Sometimes I'm worried that I've been more concerned with being right or holy, that I've missed an opportunity to share love with those that need it. We've been so concerned with avoiding sin that we failed to realize that our purity has caused pain for others. We failed to understand the other people who we are avoiding are themselves children of God, sons of Abraham. I'm not saying that we don't still need grace. I'm saying that as Christians, we are called to extend that grace to others. We need to be like Jesus and seek out the lost, the hurt, the poor, the oppressed, and offer them grace, build relationships with them, and share our food with them. St. Francis of Assisi wrote a prayer that reads, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so seek to be consoled as to console, to be loved as to understand, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we pardon. It is in dying that we are born again to eternal life." I have a challenge for all of us. How can we, as a church, share the love of God in our community? What needs in our community can we meet? How can we sow love, pardon, faith, hope, light, and joy? Who is in pain that we need to console? Who is the one different from us that needs to be understood? Who has wronged us that we need to forgive? You notice that I left off St. Francis's last line. It is not in dying that we are born again to eternal life. It is not because I'm ignoring it. It's because it takes some explanation. Being a Christian isn't easy. There is a cost to discipleship. Doing the things you are called to do is going to cost us. For some of us, it is going to cost us our pride. For others, it is going to cost us our time. It might even cost us our money. Being a Christian is about giving up ourselves for the sake of the gospel, a gospel that Jesus describes as preaching good news to the poor. To love God with our whole selves, and to love the neighbor as ourselves, to invite the stranger into our midst. We here at North Kedona Mennonite Church have been blessed with so much, and we are in a community with so much need. 64,000 people receive emergency food assistance from Winnipeg Harvest every month, making the people who are served by Winnipeg Harvest the second largest city in Manitoba. 27,000 children receive emergency food from Winnipeg Harvest each month. Like I said, we are in a city of tremendous need. A specific opportunity for our congregation is that this week we are having our annual clothing fair, and we don't have anywhere near as many clothes as we usually have. But there's still time. If you have clothes, especially women's clothes and children's clothes, and especially room clothes, we would love to have them. And I will be accepting clothing tomorrow morning up until noon. So to sum up, like Jesus going to Zacchaeus and telling him to come down, we are called to go to our neighbors and love them. We are the church. We are called to be good news. If we shut ourselves inside the walls of this church, huddled for protection from the sinning masses outside, then we are useless. We'll be the light under the basket, not the city on the hill. We need to go as Jesus went. If he hadn't called to Zacchaeus, come down from there, then we wouldn't know the fact of... If he hadn't called to Zacchaeus, come down from there, then Zacchaeus wouldn't know that, wouldn't know the grace of God. And likewise, as we go from here, if we do not call out that grace, others won't know the grace of God as well.
Thank you for those challenges, Tim. The song that Stephanie has chosen is also a challenge. And you'll find it number 61, How Can We Be Silent? I mean, the words are a challenge to us. Hopefully the melody won't be too much of a challenge. we have time, so we're going to sing through all five verses. I invite you, if the melody is too difficult, simply sit and listen and read these words. They are powerful words. If you're able to join in and sing out, please do. We're going to stand and sing all five verses.
I know you all just sat down, but I'm going to ask you to stand again for the benediction, after which the children's choir will bring us another song. The Spirit of God is upon you and has anointed you. You are the salt of the earth and you bring light to the world. You're not too young or too old. You're not too rich or too needy to bring good news to the impoverished, to give a hand to the brokenhearted, and to live out freedom and pardon through the gifts you have been given. So remember to pack peace in your toolbox, hope in your briefcase, love in your lunchbox, and may integrity, honesty, and joy be your designer wear of choice. Do not be frightened, for you are never alone. The God in whose image you are made will walk with you and guide you today, tomorrow, and every day.
We're going to close with the song Blessing. Because Lucas is here, we've asked his sister Mariana to join him, and they will do that as a duet.